message going on this morning. It's about us. It's concerning us. Purpose, idea, what we're doing for God. If you open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, all that singing, I don't need to. See, he got me in something he think it's funny, because it ain't funny. He got me singing with you. See, now he know really well. I don't hate long for that song. Then he gave you 2 days to learn it. Hey, Elder Sean, how you doing?
That's
good. Acts the 3rd chapter. It's going to come a time in everybody's life where they're going to have to decide how much they love God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know who will make you figure out fast, quick, and in a hurry how much you love God? People.
Yes.
People. Your car might mess up, but you'll be all right. Might be low on finance, but you'll be all right. But let that person get in your face. You ain't going to be all right. And if you don't find you love God quick, fast, quick, and in a hurry, they not going to be all right either.
Amen.
So here we are in the book of Acts, 3rd chapter. It says, now Peter and John went up together. It's important that we understand that they went up together. Because we can no longer do this thing by ourselves. That's why we've been teaching corporate anointing. When I mean we can no longer do this thing by ourselves, whatever denomination we call ourselves, we can no longer do it on our own. We have to all come together and become one body. That's what Jesus is waiting on, for us to all come together. He's waiting on us to take our names down off of our signs and let folks know who that we are, all the same body. You know, I saw a sign somewhere on the west side that said, the real Liberty Temple. Somewhere on Facebook. I said, is that right? I said, well, you're welcome to it. Amen. Because if we ain't trying to take our Liberty Temple sign, you might see it flying, you know, like the little lady, what's her name? The Wizard of Oz. You might see it flying through the air somewhere on the east side. But it ain't about names, but I like the name because it says Liberty Temple. We can praise God and worship God and the way God instructs us to. Now, Peter and John, they went up together. The word together means time, place, and order. Or it's intimidating, or it's trying to let us know that they had a purpose. We all have a purpose. A lot of times we don't realize what that purpose is because there's so many other things going on in our lives keeping us sidetracked from what our purpose is. And so they went up together into the temple, or a sacred place, at the hour of prayer, being the what? The ninth hour. The nine, that being ordinal judgment. The word ordinal deals with that type of judgment because it's letting us know that it's picking on a certain number. It wants us to understand a certain number. Because there was something about to take place that had already been written in the Old Testament concerning Peter and John and this man. And a certain man, the reason it wants us to know certain, and because it wants you to ask the question, why him? What was so special about him that he, what this all was about to transpire in your life? And you've asked yourself that at times. Why me, Lord? Especially when you're catching it. Why me? I never asked to be like Job. I want to be like David or some Solomon, you know. But it is the way God intended for us to be. So this certain man said he was lame or he was crippled. He wasn't just crippled physically, he was crippled mentally and spiritually also. And he laid and said, as he came from his mother's womb. The word womb is abdomen, or it means matrix. That's a certain part of our spirit letting us know that this man came from his mother's womb, but there was something already wrong with him before he even came forth. What is that? He had a purpose. But see, he never understood his purpose because he didn't like it anyway. You know, here he is laying at this gate begging. You think he liked this situation? But he learned to deal with it because he knew if he didn't do it, he couldn't eat. Or whatever else he needed to do. And it says that from his mother's womb was carried whom they laid, and they carried him. Somebody picked him up every day and carried him. And they laid him where he needed to be laid. Now, understand something. He knew where he wanted to go. Even though he was crippled, spiritually, physically, financially, of course, he knew where he wanted to go. They laid him at the same place every day. Now just think about something. He didn't just do this on Sundays. He did this 7 days a week. Amen. God places you exactly where he wants you to be. Sometimes that ain't where you want to be. Sister Brenda's, I like how to say Sister Brenda's. I've been a lot of places, Brother Tony, that I didn't want to be. And I was talking to God. Now, Lord, I'm not sure whether I did this to me or you allowing this to happen to me. But I ain't happy with being here. And if I had said, I love this idea, I'd have been lying to myself because I didn't like it. Anytime you're going through a lot of pain and agony and distress and discouragement and all these things are on you, you're not happy to be there. Now, the Bible tells us we're supposed to be. Paul says we're supposed to be. But, you know, sometimes folks get it wrong, too, because he was complaining a little bit himself. So they carried this man every day. He knew where he wanted to be. And it placed him just where he wanted to. And a lot of times God places us just where he wants us to be. It's designated. It's designed by God. Daily at the gate. Or when you look at the word gate, it means portal or entrance. Because see, he didn't know it. But God knew that he was placing him where he needed him to be. At the door, the portal, or the entrance that was going to be a blessing to him. This temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into that temple. Well, there was a reason. This man, now, everything he was going through, he wasn't stupid. This certain gate called Beautiful was where a lot of the rich people went. You know, there were quite a few gates in Jerusalem. But this certain gate had to deal with a lot of gold, a lot of silver, you know, and different things. And this guy decided, I want to go there. Don't take me by none of the other gates. I want to go to the gate Beautiful. Amen. And so to ask alms, or to, we call it today, we call it begging. Amen. Of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he decided, I bet these jokers got some loot. I bet they got some loot on them. But you have to understand something. They're disciples, and you have to understand that the church was looking out for them. So they weren't dressed like bums.
Right.
They had the best linen on. And this guy had come to a place where he figured out he can look at your dress and decide whether you had some money or not, but you can't tell these days. Oh, Lord. I was thinking, just look at me. They'd shoot me for not having money. You ain't ain't got nothing. How you got that suit on then? Where did them shoes go? Who seen Peter and John about to go in, they weren't even in yet, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening, I like that word fastening, it said Peter, fastening. And what it deals with fastening, it means that Peter looked right through his situation and looked into his heart. Sometimes you have to look through a person's outer appearance and look into their heart to see what they're really dealing with. See, we take advantage of that people because of the way they talk or the way they walk or the way they carry themselves, they don't have problems, but people have problems. And some of them, sometimes they have deep-rooted problems. And you have to be able to look into their hearts and see that they have that problem. And whether you believe it or not, God has given us all that gift. Yeah. It's called discernment. But we can't use it because we're too busy discerning what we're dealing with. Yeah. Or complaining about what we have to put up with. Peter fastening his eyes on or within him. With John, it says, with John, come into existence, be present or at hand. Now remember, he did it with John. They did it together.
Right.
All we just want to be who we want to be. Yeah. I'm the greatest prophet you ever seen. Well, okay. That's because I didn't get a chance to see Jesus. Amen. So they said, look on us. Don't look at how we dress. Look on us. At this specific time, if you study this word of God, you'll find out that at this specific time, this guy now has the ability to see what's actually in them. Only God could have gave him that ability. Remember what I said at the beginning of his life, how he wanted to be placed in a certain place and how his life was purposed? Like when we talked about Judas. You know, everybody wanted to dog Judas all the time. Judas' life was purposed. That he did exactly what he had been told to do through Scripture. So this guy is doing the same thing. And then they said, John said, look on us. Not look at me. But look on us. Because I want you to understand that what he is, I am. And what I am, he is. But Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. And when you see the Father, you see me. So they were saying, look at us. Look on us. Not just me, but look on us. Because you'll find out that this same anointing that is inside is in my life. So what you're about to get, brother, is a double portion of what we have. Amen. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, he wasn't happy about that, because they asking him to look on them, and he's talking about, where's money at? Where's my loot? What you got for me? So, we don't understand our purpose sometimes. And we say, well, God, why am I in this position? Why am I hurting this bad? Why am I this discouraged? Why do I hurt the way I hurt, Lord? And you know what God says? Nothing. If he told you something, let me know. But you know what he depends on us to do? They go into this word and find out for ourselves. The Bible will tell you why you're where you are.
Amen.
And then it'll even tell you how to get out of where you are.
Amen.
I've had a couple brothers try to tell me how to get out of it. I found myself deeper in the mess. You know, that's some outfit you got on there, son. Why your people ain't never cease to amaze. see. He got that tie on, don't he? And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, look here, man. We ain't got no silver. We don't have no gold. You looking for something that we don't even have. Amen. He's, because they knew they had a purpose to be there. And when they fastened their eyes on them, they recognized that this is the guy that God purposed in their lives that they needed to visit. Because they don't have no money. They're not one of them folks with all the gold and silver going through the gate beautiful or the portal. But they have a purpose for being there. We have a purpose for being in everybody's life. Amen. We don't see it a lot of times because we allow their attitude or their disposition to affect what God is trying to show us concerning them. Because, now you might as well be for real about it. Somebody give you attitude, you're going to give them attitude back. And you don't mean to, but we're still human. And then all of a sudden you hear God say, in your spirit say, yeah, you know, you weren't supposed to be doing that. And you say to yourself, it's too late now, I've done it. Now you walk around all day feeling guilty, and eventually you go back and say, you know what, I'm sorry. They don't give a flying flip that you're sorry. But God does. And that's the only one you try to please. You're not trying to please man. You're trying to please God. Amen. So here they are. Peter says, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto thee. I give thee. What we do have, brother, we about to give it to you. We about to share it with you. Amen. A lot of times we don't have what people need, what they want. But what we do have is what they need. And I can't think of very many people that don't need Jesus. They may think they don't, but they do. Amen. So, such as we have, we give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Yeah. Man, you better get out of here and give me some money. Excuse me. I was born like this. How do you expect me to get up? What you going to do, pick me up and carry me to another destination? He said, rise up and walk. The word rise up means to awaken. Arouse from your sleep. From your disease. And realize that you are no longer in obscurity, but God is going to do something for you. The moment they fastened their eyes on him, they knew that this was the guy that God was about to do a miracle in his life. So he said, rise up and walk. Get up out of your condition. Stop whining about your circumstances. Stop complaining about your dilemmas. And get up and get moving. What does it say? Lift up your eyes to the hills from which your help coming from the Lord. That's why he was telling them, look on us. Because what you're about to see in us is exactly what you have need of. You think you need the money. You think you need the silver and the gold. But what we're about to give you, brother, gonna mess you up. So it says, and they took him by the right hand. We know that the right hand represents the authority of God. Where is Jesus sitting? At the right hand of the Father. They took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Sometimes folks need just a little help to get to where they need to be. Amen. But you know, we say, well, they shouldn't have gotten themselves in the situation. We wouldn't be having this problem. They ought to go ahead and just deal with it. They did. But sometimes we have to help folks. Sometimes you have to tell folks, encourage them, and strengthen them, uplift them. They might not be your favorite person. Now y'all know that's the truth. They might be just the one that you want to avoid. But you fasten your eyes upon them, and God got a purpose and a job for you to do. Amen. To encourage them. So they lifted him up, and it says immediately his feet and his ankles did what? Receive strength. In order for that to happen, this guy had to have some kind of faith.
Amen.
When they took him by the hand, they gave him exactly what he needed. They gave him encouragement. They strengthened him. They let him know, look here, we got something for you, and it's about to change your life. When Jesus came into my life, it changed my life. I found out that there were problems. They neglected to tell me that walking with God wasn't easy. They didn't tell me that I was going to experience a lot of pain. That I was going to get discouraged. And that people folks were going to pick on me. And I was going to be broken down a lot of times. And I was going to go through sicknesses. And God would say, that you's all right. And I'm saying to myself, how is it possibly all right? But something about the word of God strengthened you.
Amen.
The word encouraged you.
Amen.
The word lifted you.
Yes.
And then you can hear yourself saying to yourself, you know what? I can do all things through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That means I can get out of this dilemma through Christ.
Amen.
I can stop being discouraged through Christ.
Yes.
I can have the blessing financial that I need through Christ.
Yes.
Everything I have need of, I can get it through Christ.
Amen.
But I've got to come to a place in my life where I can lift myself up.
Amen.
Amen.
I need to rise up and walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we got saints, we didn't got so lazy. We expect the preachers to do it all. You better find God for yourself.
Amen.
Because preachers falling off the deep end too. I don't know why y'all want to think we're supposed to be perfect. You better get that mess out your mind and realize that he walking around with the same heart and the same blood flowing through his veins that's in yours, and he has the same thoughts and ideas that you have.
Amen.
But understand this, he can only give you what he got. How many understand that?
Amen.
And you can only give somebody else what you got. You ever been around somebody that always got a bad attitude? And everybody, it seems like when they come into the room, everybody get a bad attitude. Folks that were smiling and laughing, now they walk around all straight, they start frowned up like, wouldn't you just laugh a few minutes ago? You better keep your eye on the prize. Then they took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now see, remember, he was not allowed to be inside the gate. But he was laying on the outside of the gate, greeting the people as they went inside the gate. So when they took him by the right hand and the anointing of God began to flow through his body, and the word of God strengthened him, And he realized, now listen, the Bible says they went to lift him up. But then it tells us there that he leaped up. So they didn't actually pull him all the way up. When they took him by the right hand, they lift him. They were doing more than just lifting his body. They was lifting his spirit.
Amen.
And something about the power of God that was in them began to flow in him. And he realized that. And it said, he leaped up to his feet and walked. And he said, look here. I ain't got that gold that I was planning on getting. And they didn't give me the silver that I thought I was going to get. But what I do have, check me out.
Yeah.
I'm walking through the gate.
Yeah.
I'm walking through the gate myself. And then it said he didn't just accept that. Say he was leaping, jumping, and praising God, which is a very important issue. Because the word God means theos. And theos means God in us. So they gave him more than what he expected. He wanted silver, but he got salvation. He wanted gold, but he got God. Can you imagine that man sitting at that gate all those years from his mother's womb? From the moment he learned how to beg, now here he is jumping and hollering and screaming and running through the gate, and everybody looking at him like a madman. Ain't that the guy that was been in the gate that I gave money to yesterday? There's something about the power of God that gives us strength to endure soldiers. Amen. You ever watched any of those World War II soldier documentaries? I mean the real ones? Where them guys were out there in that freezing cold, crawling up under barbed wire fences. They didn't have a choice. If they decided not to go, they were called what? Deserters. You know what you don't ever want to be called by God? A deserter. Amen. I mean, this guy is having him a great time. He's leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, they wanted to know what it was with him. How is he up running around? They want to know, how can they be so happy and I know the situation they in? How can they have the nerve to still be praising God and I know that they feel bad? You know people know you. And they get astonished at the fact that you can still honor God in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. Because the right hand of God has reached out and touched you and lifted you up. And now you realize that the Christ in you, who is your hope of glory, has given you power and authority to endure all things and fight the good fight of faith and still look up to heaven and recognize that God is your deliverer.
Amen.
They saw him praising God. What did they know about praising God? What did these folks inside the gate beautiful know about praising God? It's amazing how God establishes himself wherever he is. Here's probably a bunch of folks, scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and rich folks and some of everybody up in there. But now they recognize that he's doing what? Praising God. Because it had to be something about him. Period. That made them recognize that this ain't the same guy that we saw out there. It's not only something different, the fact that he's up running and jumping and giving up, it's something about him that's different because now we recognize the fact that he's giving God the praise. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with what? Wonder, astonishment, and amazement. What happened was their minds got displaced. Mine would have, the same guy every day, and the same guy every day, I tell him I don't have nothing. You know, it's like the guys at the stores, or the same guy, you see him every day. And he always getting on the bus. Whether you stay there watching, he never gets on the bus. He backtracks into the place to buy some Lucy's. It's true. He had to explain what a Lucy was. Everybody don't know. Don't feel bad. There's some stuff I don't know either. I go, what? Pastor Arnie's, what does this mean? That's so serious. But it's the same people. You see them every, I see the same guy every day. I stop at this gas station. And I stop to ask him, you're a young guy. I say, young man, don't you want to work? He looked at me like I was insane. I say, I better leave him alone because me and him about to have a problem. Some folks, you just have to let him go. Because he, not only did he not want to hear about Jesus, he didn't want to hear me. I'll cuss at him when I ask him, don't you want a job? I guess he had his job, whatever he was doing. So they knew that this is that same guy out there. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You know why they ran? Because they had the same problems he had. They might not have been lame physically, but they were lame mentally. They were lame spiritually. They was lame in discouragement. So when they saw that these two guys had the power and the authority to give this guy the strength to get up off his tail and start jumping up and down and giving God praise, not for finance, but giving God praise for who he was now. Because he changed. He transformed by the renewing of his mind. When they took him by the right hand, they didn't just give him strength to heal, but they renewed him in his mind. That's why once they grabbed him, he realized, he said, you know what? I can do this myself. And it says he just hopped up. And he couldn't stop. I wonder if he even stopped hopping, Brother Greg. I wonder how many days he hopped before he just got too tired to hop anymore. Come to the conclusion that his legs and his ankles were not working. And see, you understand something. When you look at the word ankle, it represents your walk. Your feet and your ankle represents your walk. It says he received strength in his ankles. It received strength in his ankles. It gave him now the power to stand up for the things of God. Now you know somebody sometime or another told that man about God. You know God can heal you. But they didn't have no proof. You know what the proof is? The proof is in you. Amen. Let me tell you something about your pastor. When he goes to the bowling alley, he goes bowling out of the bowl. If you want to talk to me about what you're going through, you better wait till I'm done. But I got people calling me up now. Coming to the bowling alley, want me to counsel them while I'm trying to bowl. What am I supposed to tell God? They got to wait, Lord. I can hear God saying, how about you wait just a little while here and drop down, can't get up for a minute. God will put people in your life that you can take them by the right hand of authority and encourage them and lift them up and give them the power to understand that they can make it in this life. In spite of the trouble that they have, they can still make it. And this lame man which was healed by Peter, it caused all the people in their temple to run to them. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk. He's letting them know it wasn't by us, but it was through the power of God. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus. What he's saying was, that same power that he gave Jesus when Jesus rose from the grave, he gave us that same power.
Amen.
So we don't have to be around lame people. I told a story I haven't told in years. While I was out there, this had to be about 15, 20 years ago. It was a guy coming down the sidewalk, and he didn't have any legs, and he was on one of those flat beds with wheels on it, and he was pushing himself. And you know, I'm thinking I'm about to encourage him, right? When he got to encouraging me, I said to myself, I can run this race. Even though he had half a body, he had a whole mind.
Amen.
And he got to telling me about the things of Jesus out of the book of Romans. And I'm looking at him. I say, he know more than I know. And when he got through, he said, brother, you have a blessed day. And he was gone. What does that tell us? That it doesn't matter what condition we may be in.
Amen.
We can still give God praise.
Amen.
We can still glorify God.
Amen.
We think that when we have bad situations, we need to sit down and cry like God will come to my rescue. I've done all that. That didn't do no good. I had to go get some Visine to get the redness out. So, we have a job to do. We got to cause folks to wake up and realize that there is a God in the land. And he is alive. And his name is called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And he's in us. Why are we acting like he's not? What's that old saying? When folks talk about how good they can cook, when you ask them, oh, let me give you something. The proof is in the pudding. If I take one bite and it ain't good, I don't want the rest of it. That's how folks doing us. They trying to see if it's any proof in the pudding. They try you once and see that there ain't no proof. They gonna cut you loose and not try you again. Amen. God is doing something in there. I don't care what's going on around the world. God is still moving.
Amen.
Just because we haven't come to a place in this world where we can see him actually moving,
right,
don't mean that he's not. Folks don't believe, forget, they don't understand. God is in control of everything. Good, bad, indifferent. Nothing that you see, feel, or hear has to affect the life of God in you unless you let it.
Amen.
How many understand what I'm saying? It's time for us to take people and say, you know what? Silver and gold I ain't got, but what I got, I'm going to give it to you. And you know what it is? Life.
Amen.
It's a life of God. It's salvation.
Yeah.
It's deliverance. It's healing. You know, more folks need spiritual healing than they need healing in their bodies. A lot of folks have broken hearts. Hearts that's been wounded. But they can't tell nobody about their wounded heart because they're worried about folks telling them, but where your faith at? I'll tell them in a heartbeat, I'm still doing what I'm doing, right? You're not. So evidently, I always have a little bit more faith than you do. Because when I go through trouble, I'm going to praise God. Amen. I'm going to give God some praise. Amen. I need to get a strike one day to get that cash. And I threw the ball horrible. And I was looking at them, oh boy. Everybody around me, they laughed. this strike, that the guy that I'm trying to beat is going to beat me. And not through the ball, just like Therese would, right through the nose. Right through, if you know what I mean by the nose, the head pin, that very first pin, which usually leaves you big splits.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened. I'm standing there looking at this in amazement. The pins just started tumbling over. One would fall and touch another one, and that one would fall. And I'm saying to myself, keep hitting them. Another one would fall. And before I realized it, they were all down. I was like, hallelujah! And somebody from the back house, this ain't church, Red. I say, church is wherever I'm at. Hallelujah! Don't be hating on me. Because I got something. I wasn't hating on you, son. I just tell the truth. We got jobs. We got to let folks know. Amen. Pastor, I used to tell this story all the time. And I believed it. Because I seen him do it. He'd get on an elevator. And with some other folks. And they all hollering, GD this and GD that. And he said before he got to his floor, he just started hollering, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. I said, what you do that for? Well, I wanted equal time. We want equal time. Amen. Amen. Everybody stand. Amen. So silk and gold. Find that. But what I got, you can have. And it's called the love of God. You know what's so important about the love of God? It can strengthen the weakest person.
Yeah.
It can let that person know that the battle that they're in isn't their battle, but it belongs to God. So I reminded myself of that. This ain't my battle. This is God's battle. So while I'm standing here trying to fight it, I'm just going to start thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. I give you the praise and the honor, Lord. You have to thank him in advance. I'll thank you in advance.
That's right.
Amen. You have to. There's people in here right now going through some of the most dreadful things in their lives. But they're here giving God praise. They're here honoring God. And if they can do it here, they do it everywhere. Amen. I was out there laughing. I didn't mean to laugh at him, but it's just the fact that he said he didn't stay home last week. Lawrence has a couple houses. And he had this beautiful Cadillac he'd been working on. Black Cadillac, that thing was gorgeous. He said something told him he needed to put his car in the garage last night. But he did. When he got home, somebody had barreled right into the middle of it.
Oh, wow.
Guess where the car came from? Benton Harbor.
Oh,
the cops got the car, traced the car, and the car came from Benton Harbor. You know how far Benton Harbor is from here? And I started laughing. He said, why you laughing, Red? I said, maybe it rains on the just and the unjust. Stuff happens. And we just have to keep moving. And we keep pushing. Amen. Take somebody by the hand this morning. They keep running back and forth out of that kitchen back there. I got a little hungry. Hey, you better stop recording there, Sister Photo. Can you edit that? It can't be edited? Please. Pastor Relaford, bring that anointing up here and pray.
Jesus, we thank you for giving us an opportunity, Lord. concern you to walk upright before me. Circumspect that as wise, not as a fool. God, you gave us this privilege from the beginning. In the beginning was that truth and that word, Lord God, that you had already planted in us, oh Lord God. And Father, we just want to thank you and lift you up because you've given us the power over all the power of the enemy. And that enemy is within, oh Lord God, and you overcame that enemy for our sake. Ah, God, and you're abiding on the inside, Lord God, and the battle is yours because you overcame. Lord God, you're showing us, you're teaching us, you're leading us to be that overcomer like you were. Ah, God, you was, you is, and you shall come again, God. You was the overcomer, you is the overcomer. Now we are the overcomers in Christ Jesus. Lord God, we lift you up right now. We praise your holy name. God, holy. There's no other name but your name, Lord God, that's full of power and might. And that full of power and might is dwelling on the inside of us. So, Lord God, we can minister to our own self through your power and through your might, Lord God. Put it down the strongholds in our life and lifting up your mighty name in praise and worship. God, and we thank you for giving us the strength and the courage to do these things, Lord God. God, lead us and guide us like never before, oh Lord God. Jesus, you get that increase and we get that decrease, Lord God. God, help us to decrease, that thou may increase in, you may increase in us the more. Lord God, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for the victory is yours, and the victory is in us, oh Lord God, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. We still on? I got